Did you know you could sponsor Nerd and Ty? That's right. For just $20 an episode, we would read your name here, say nice things about you, and just generally compliment you on what a wonderful human being you may or may not be. We don't really care if you're a good person, because you'll have paid us. That's right. Just go to nerdandty.com and click on the sponsor link on the right sidebar or on the sponsor link in the top menu. It's fun, exciting, fun for the whole family, except for when we use inappropriate language on the podcast.
And on this Fortnite's episode of Nerd and Ty, we talk about the new Batman 66 animated feature coming out in 2016. Hideaki Anno and Shinji Higuchi are going to direct the Japanese Godzilla film. X-Files is confirmed as a 6-episode limited series on Fox. Nick talks about the Robotech film franchise, and we talk about the recent happenings in the comic scene. This, as well as reading your mail, this is Nerd and Ty.
Ah, huzzah.
Gentlemen, good Fortnite to you.
Hello.
Gentlemen.
Well, everybody, welcome to Nerd and Ty. Of course, it has been a fortnight, and so here we are, sitting in front of you at your computers or over your listening device of choice to tell you things that have happened in these last 2 weeks. As always, I am one of your hosts, Professor Fursters.
That's
and
exciting.
With me is the uncountable Nikazumi.
It's true. There's more than one of me, but you can't count them.
Trapped as a still frame again this episode.
Yeah, we don't have him on video this time. And always the unsniffable Trey Dorn.
You really don't want to, but on the upside, I am wearing pants.
Ooh, I think I'm in full, I'm here, let's get going mode, I think, is how I am.
I have not had internet for the past, 48 hours or so, this is nice,
Nick,
to be back.
We have so much to tell you about. Did you hear they're making real live Gundams? They want Americans to pilot them.
Yeah, I'm not going to believe you about that.
But, well, it's okay, though. You do have to be between the ages of 14 and 17 to actually pilot the robots.
Yeah, well, see, if that's the problem, is that as an adult in Gundam, I have one of two options. I can either be a commanding officer who's cool, or I can be an inspirational character who dies to make the 14-year-old feel bad. I mean, no,
well,
feel bad.
Let's that's be honest here, guys. Nick looks like he's 16 anyway, so...
Yeah, I could probably pull it off. If
remember, he's gotten ID'd for pizza before.
So, I mean, really, my only choices are to either die in the third act of the second half of the first Cool or become Hitler.
Pretty much. That's what you got.
Yeah, your options are limited, Trey.
Well, I'm going to have to become Hitler then.
Yeah, pretty much. Space Hitler. Your Space sister Hitler. Might kill you by shooting you in the back of the head, though. Fair warning. That happens.
I have a sister. Crap.
Yep.
That happens when you become Space Hitler.
Damn it.
Yeah, so, well, gentlemen, we've got a lot to talk about this Fortnite. Of course, we always have a lot to talk about, but there's some good stuff happening in this last Fortnite. Normally, we have a lot of occasionally one or two kind of depressing things really slip in, but it's really nice to open a show and not in memoriam of somebody.
No one's dead.
Yeah, no one died.
Knock on wood. With our luck, someone will have died before I upload this tonight.
We are about to talk about somebody that's pushing a rather ripe old age here. So let's. Fingers crossed that he's okay tomorrow morning. But it was recently announced. Of course, one of the greatest things to come out of the 1960s was the 1960s Batman TV series starring Burt Ward and Adam West.
Say Robin's name first.
Well, you know, that's how I do. Along with the great cast of characters, it was arguably one of the cheesiest versions of Batman ever. If not the cheesiest, it was great. It was a lot of fun. People look on it fondly. And recently, they put the original series on Blu-ray. Well, with the 50th anniversary coming out coming up here in 2016, it's been announced that Adam West and Burt Ward are going to be starring in an animated 1960s style Batman feature that's going to be released in 2016.
Well, don't forget, there was also, for the last couple of years, one of the only really great books DC has been putting out has been Batman 66. It's a fantastic comic.
The we get it, right?
You like I said one of. I'm not. Okay. I didn't.
Don't crazy. Make me come to your house, Nick. I'll do it. I went to Core Fan's house last weekend.
It's. I can vouch that happened. I know for a fact that that happened. But yeah, no, I'm really excited for this little cartoon. I enjoy the DC animated series things, but oh my god, more Adam West shenanigans! Sign me up.
I always refer to and I still it works itself into my daily vernacular. Some days you just can't get rid of a bomb.
You know,
I say that almost daily at some point.
All of my problems with The Dark Knight Rises, all of my problems would be so much less if during the scene where he's trying to get the bomb out of the city, after they're like, wow, what a hero, if Christian Bale just would have been like, sometimes you just can't get rid of a bomb. That would be perfect for me. Then I'd be like, you know what? It's been slow. And terrible, but that scene was good.
I would love it. Somebody like, I hope somebody's like put that in because, yeah, we definitely. That is the second Batman movie we've had where he's been trying to, where he's trying to dispose of a bomb somewhere but can't quite get rid of it.
Man, that was a missed opportunity.
The way to go, Christopher Nolan.
So many things about that film were a missed opportunity, but I think that's the biggest.
The biggest. So, but in 2016, we don't really know any details about this animated feature.
No, we do know that if it does well, they're going to do a second one.
It'd be nice. You know, I wonder how many of the older villains they can get to come back that are still alive. Of course, a few have passed on.
Say, like Burgess Meredith is dead. He's passed on.
Yep.
Like, how's Frank Gorshin doing?
Is he alive?
I believe he is.
Well, I know. Okay, so out of the Catwoman, Eartha Kitt's passed away. But I don't remember if...
Frank Gorshin is still alive. Or no, he passed away in 2005.
Yeah.
Never mind. We're not going to be able to really get any Batman villains from the original show.
I was about to say, if Lee Merriweather is alive, they could just not call her. That would be better.
Either Lee Merriweather or Julie Newmar, are either of them alive? Because Eartha Kitt's passed away... But those are the other two from Batman's, because one was just did the movie, but then the
I would say
Lee Merriweather's still alive. She's alive and looking great.
Okay, there we go.
I'm not saying she's not an attractive woman. I just thought she was not a good Catwoman. There's a like when you, especially when you compare her to Kit and Newmar, who are just phenomenal.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, but you know that doesn't mean I there's a place in my heart for you know Lee Merriweather.
I feel bad for her and Cesar Romero whenever I watch the Batman movie because there's no scenery left for them to chew because Burgess Meredith and Frank Gorshin have chewed up all of it.
Yep.
And there's not enough to go around. They're
my whole favorite thing about the original movie is that Romero didn't want to shave his mustache. Yeah.
Well, the whole series.
Yeah.
So we've got a Joker with a mustache with paint on it.
Well, he's my favorite Joker. He will always be my favorite Joker.
Yeah.
It's also he's my first Joker. Like this was I grew up as a kid. Like you have to remember the Keaton movie wasn't until '89. I was I was 9 years old when that came out. So like. And then obviously the Batman animated series didn't come till after that. So my exposure to Batman as a kid was the Adam West series, then the Adam West cartoon, and Super Friends with Adam West, and Batman and Robin meet Scooby-Doo with Adam West and Burt Ward. Adam West was synonymous with Batman for like six-year-old me. You know,
Adam West in Zombie Nightmare.
Yeah, so... But my point is that so, like, these are all the definitive versions of the characters for me whenever I, like, think back. Like, I know, like, 20 other things are happening. But, you know, frankly, even though, you know, DKR was out in the 80s, I wasn't watching it. I was 8, you know?
Reading it.
I was watching Adam West reruns on, like, Nickelodeon. I just remember that when I went, I didn't see the 89 Batman in theaters because I was too young, but I did go see Batman Returns in theaters. And the day I went and saw Batman Returns in theaters, I watched the episode of the 60s Batman series where Penguin ran for mayor. And then immediately afterwards, went, like literally right after finishing that episode, went to go see a matinee of Batman Returns, and there was Penguin run for mayor again. And I was like, I have seen this.
But Danny, let's be honest. The Burgess Meredith Penguin, he had a better platform than the Danny DeVito.
I love
Batman. I'm always surrounded by police officers. I must be an upstanding citizen. Batman is always surrounded by bad guys.
I love Batman Returns. But it is by far my least favorite depiction of the Penguin ever. Because Danny DeVito, while he's a good actor, it's that whole monster version of the Penguin that I'm like, the whole point of the Penguin is that he's well dressed and like he's supposed to be like the well dressed, well spoken villain. Not the one who is, like, biting people's noses off, you know?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of DeVito's portrayal of the Penguin either.
Yeah. It's...
Well, to be fair, when Gotham does end, we're going to get, like, a flash forward, and it's going to be Adam West and Burt Ward sitting there being like, wow, Robin, we sure had some great adventures.
No, that's what they're going to do if they want me to forgive that show for existing, which they won't do.
Well, you know, I will say the only good thing I have to say about Gotham is that I really do like their portrayal of the Penguin on the show.
Oh, yeah. No, he's fantastic.
That actor is just great. And I just rewatched the episode of Walking Dead that he was in playing this hippie. And it was funny because I kept thinking, that's the Penguin.
Well, but be on the lookout because the Batman 66 animated feature is going to be out in 2016, starring Adam West and Burt Ward, and it's going to be phenomenal. Going to be great.
So
jam handy. Speaking of things that are going to be great.
Fingers crossed, anyway. Yep, we finally have directors for Toho's new Japanese-produced Godzilla movie, and not a bad pair of directors for this movie at all. Creator, director, and general just animation superstar Hideaki Anno, you might know him from Evangelion fame, is one of the two directors.
No idea who that is. Yeah. What's an Evangelion?
Never. Okay. Oh, dear God.
Is that one of the good guy robots?
It's like the 90s all over again. He's being joined on this project, though, by Shinji Higuchi, who right now is most famous for his work on Attack on Titan. But
the live-action movie, not the anime series.
Right.
That hasn't come out yet, but the...
But he is also a special effects whiz who was the special effects director not only of the Gamera trilogy, which if you haven't watched those, they're fantastic. Go watch them. But also the special effects director of Godzilla, Mothra, and King Ghidorah, Monsters All Out Attack, which is my favorite Godzilla movie of all time. This is a really good director duo. Both of them have a sincere understanding of what kaiju movies are about. Both of them love this genre an awful lot. For those who don't know Anno for anything beyond Evangelion, he is a big fan of Eiji Tsuburaya, the special effects director from the original Godzilla. He, you look at the angels in Eva, he knows what he's doing with kaiju. And well, Higuchi, again, he worked on the Gamera trilogy and, frankly, the best Godzilla movie of the entire series. He knows his monsters. These are two really good directors. I'm excited.
Okay, that's a little... We've been eating Gamera!
Those movies didn't feature that song.
No, they didn't, but they should have.
They're really freaking good movies. You can get them for dirt cheap these days.
I've admittedly only watched like the original Gamera films. I haven't watched the 90s ones.
They're phenomenal. Also, on a weird tangential note that relates to this, the ADV-produced dub is essentially an Evangelion cast reunion. Tiffany Grant plays the scientist, and Amanda Win-Lee, who was Rey in the Ava dub, plays the psychic teenager she hangs out with. So it's a total Evangelion cast reunion. It's really fun.
Oh, it's going to be good. plus it's going to be Godzilla. I mean, like, the last American Godzilla movie was pretty darn good. Nick, when was our last Japanese Godzilla movie?
That was back in 2005.
It was Final Wars, wasn't it?
Yeah. Which was fun but stupid.
Yeah. It did introduce Zilla into the canon, though.
Well, they hinted at Zilla in Godzilla, Mothra, and King Ghidorah. It's a really funny throwaway scene. But yeah, that was the first one.
Hinted. This was a canonical appearance of Zilla. And that made me so happy because it lets me love the 98 Godzilla film again if I just accept it as a different canonical monster.
You also get the most nightmarish version of Gigan in the entire series.
Final Wars
Gigan Terror.
I just found a pile of cards for Gundam War Next A, Mobile Suit Gundam, the card game Next Age.
What?
Like, I have like five of these, which I don't know. I must have like gotten them at a convention somewhere. Which Nick can't see these, but they are in Japanese.
Can I have them?
that looks incredible.
I don't
incredible.
Know who you are. I know nothing about this.
Well, it's a red Gundam. It looks like he's wearing like football armor or yeah, football that. Gear.
Wait, is it?
I don't know. There's no English on it, so
if it's red with a blue head, it might be Gundam Maxter.
No, it's all red. He's like holding a gun.
I think it's a Gundam. I think it's a Zaku.
Is there a big pink eye? Does it have a singular pink eye?
Yes.
Okay, it's probably Zaku then.
We just need to have an episode where we just vaguely describe this. It's a girl with blonde hair. It looks like she's holding a baby.
I got whoever this is.
And that's Mega Man.
Yeah, that's definitely Mega Man. Nick's going to have to go back and watch the video later.
I'm going to have to watch the video and find out what the heck you're talking about.
I'm told it's the MS-14B Gelgoog High Mobility Type.
Ooh, I love those.
All right.
That's
according to Random Ramblings we had in the chat room. And then I got this thing, which is Gundam's crotch.
And
with
Setsuna
a giant ball.
CE.
You know, the embarrassing thing is there was a time we were watching a Gundam episode. They were trying to do a reveal of what the suit was, and all they showed was its crotch, and I called out what it was, and my fiance was ashamed because I was exactly right. All I saw.
Well, so to sorry to distract us from the
Godzilla.
Godzilla.
The awesomeness with, that is the
well, okay,
Godzilla.
So I found them in the case for my Gamera versus Gyos and Gamera versus Virus double feature DVD. That's where I found it.
Really strange.
Well, it means I probably got it at a convention somewhere, probably like Nozumi-Con or Anime Milwaukee or something. Let's go back.
Back to Godzilla Trey.
To go back to Godzilla. All I'm saying is that I'm really getting tired of people writing Shinji getting the Godzilla on the internet because that joke was kind of funny the first 5 seconds, but then it got really old. And I prefer to make jokes about Godzilla spending the whole movie ignoring Manila.
I ignore that thing. Most.
No, it should be following him around in an ill-fitted white t-shirt trying to get his attention.
The best part of Son of Godzilla is when he starts hitting Minya or Minila or whatever.
I don't know how to pronounce it. I just know how it's spelled because I've never watched Son of Godzilla other than random clips.
The only good thing that Minya I'm just going with some of the I don't know what the actual
the official
pronunciation
name is M I N I L L A according to the Godzilla wiki.
Whatever Minila or Minya or whatever you want to call him, the only good thing that we ever had him do was when he road tripped with those people in Final Wars because it's the trippiest thing. Because there's this little kid and his grandpa in a pickup truck and there's Minya in the back and I would have just watched 2 hours of that. I honestly would have just watched that.
All I know is people have to remember that Godzuki is not Godzilla's kid. He is a cousin. And he's only in the animated cartoon.
Oh, Godzuki. stupid. Speaking of, Toho needs to stop being so tight with what they will and will not allow to, for Godzilla toys. Because NECA, who produced the Pacific Rim action figures, have been doing these great Godzilla toys recently.
Yeah.
And Toho put their foot down and said they're not allowed to do either Marvel Comics Godzilla or Hanna-Barbera Godzilla. And it's like, oh, those would be awesome.
So I will say the one thing that I'm like, I'm still, I've said this when they first announced this film, and I'm going to say it again, that I'm a little irritated that Toho has decided to splinter the continuity immediately while there's an ongoing series with Legendary. It's, I would have preferred a unified universe, even if there were Japanese films being made to coordinate with the people working on the American film series, so we could have like a singular Godzilla for a while instead of me having to pay attention to two of them. Because everyone on this podcast listening knows that Toho would not be making a new Godzilla film if the American 2014 Godzilla had not been a massive success both in America and Japan, and if Japan hadn't liked the American Godzilla.
You know, pretty much.
It wasn't a perfect film, you know, but frankly, it was far from the worst Godzilla film ever made.
Oh, it's not even close to being the worst one ever.
I'll say it's better than Final Wars. It's better than Final Wars, which was Toho's last attempt.
I don't want to compare it to Final Wars because, like, Final Wars is so Ryuhei Kitamura that you can't even compare it to most movies, let alone other Godzilla movies.
Yeah, and so I'm perfectly fine with Toho saying we're a movie production company, let's make a movie in house in this franchise. But I'm a little bit irritated that there isn't any sort of coordination and that it's like that we're siloing the continuities, because I think there could be a lot of fun. Because it's not like anything in the American Godzilla contradicted any part of the Godzilla mythos. I mean, obviously it's a new continuity, but it's like there's nothing fundamentally wrong about the portrayal of Godzilla. the biggest complaint about about that film I've seen is that there just wasn't enough of Godzilla in it.
And even then, looking at it, you're like, yeah, any more Godzilla probably would have been, you know.
And I was about to say, and they're wrong. The correct complaint is that the human characters sucked and they focused on the wrong ones. Yeah.
I agree completely, and it's okay because we can watch the married couple go be brother and sister in a month.
Yeah. That'll be great.
That'd be awesome.
And we could just... Charlie Hunnam and the least talented Olsen sister.
Speaking of,
I'm still excited about Avengers: Age of Ultron, but let's just remember it's the least successful Olsen sister. Her older sisters are Mary Kate and Ashley.
It's true.
I didn't know that. That's
speaking of
move forward
of shipping things.
Right. Oh. Well, that's canon in the X-Files. So, it had been rumored for a while that Fox wanted to bring back the X-Files, but now it is confirmed that the X-Files is 100% going to return to airwaves, again in a cash grab, by Fox in this case. But it will come back to airwaves in a 6-episode limited series. David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson are both coming back. Chris Harder is going to helm it up. They are in negotiations to bring back the cigarette-smoking man who I thought was dead, but I don't know.
I thought he died in the finale.
I really thought he died in the finale when, you know, like the missile went at him, if I remember correctly. I haven't watched it in a long time.
To be honest, he put it on his
missile-proof vest.
This is all from Duchovny, and a lot of the higher-ups have been saying, don't listen to anything David Duchovny says.
But also, Mitch Pileggi is in talks to come back, which is good. Skinner. I love Skinner. I photoshopped myself as Skinner. But both for the
show, guys, it's not like he was just randomly sitting around.
No, if you go to a title card for the episode where this rumor first came up, it was us as the X-Files because we photoshopped in the title cards. I make us different people because I get bored. So it's going to come back as a 6-episode series. We're not sure when it's going to air. But we do know that it's going to go into production probably near the end of the summer, but that's not 100%, but it's going to happen. Chris Carter has said they're looking at making like 6 independent pieces, so it really sounds like it's actually going to all be Monster of the Week episodes,
Which, that'd be nice.
No, it wouldn't.
Because I wouldn't mind more Monster of the Week shows.
See, here's the thing. You want to know why X-Files, I want to believe, flopped in the box office? Why the last time they tried to bring this back in 2008 is because all the fans went out looking for a mythology movie and got a Monster of the Week. I'm not saying they all have to be mythology, but if you're going to bring back a series, for six episodes, the only people who give a crap about the X-Files are usually people who watch
pretty invested in the story,
in the mythology. That's what they want to know about. So, you know, it's a thing.
It's an awful lot to ask, Trey.
But
I don't know.
You know, it's the X-Files has, you know, gotten a lot of views on Netflix, and Fox figures, hey, we can sell more DVDs and get more streaming money, so let's make more episodes, which, to be fair, I would do if I were Fox.
Solid business plan.
Yeah. Recycle our nostalgia.
Yeah.
Because if there's one thing people from the 90s have proven, it's that they love everything about the 90s.
Even people who weren't really from the 90s who want to pretend they're from the 90s. I'm sorry, if you were born after 95, you don't remember the 90s. I'm sorry.
Take that.
But
you guys suck.
Yeah, I wouldn't call Fur and Nick 80s kids.
Because, we were on the butt end of that one.
Definitely not. I hung out with 80s kids, but I am not an 80s kid.
Right. I am.
Well, that's because you're old.
Yes, but but to get back to it, it's six episodes. It's nice to bring it back. I will say I prefer this over a reboot.
Yeah,
I prefer a revival over a reboot any day.
I agree.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
Unless it's bad, and then I prefer a reboot because I can ignore it. That's what it comes down to. If it's good, I want a revival. If it's bad, I want it to have been a reboot so I can ignore it later. Because what happens is if it's bad, then the next time they revive it, they'll ignore it. And then you end up with, like, four continuities like you have with Knight Rider.
Hello there, Michael. Which one are you this time?
Of all series, how does Knight Rider have, like, four continuities? Because it all requires the original series, and then there's the movies, including Knight Rider 2010, which is like a post-apocalyptic future. Then you get Knight Rider branching off into Team Knight Rider, and then you get the Knight Rider branching off into the remake of Knight Rider. So I guess it's only three. But I think all those other ones also ignored the Hasselhoff sequel movie to Knight Rider. How did Knight Rider have this happen?
You need a moment, Trey?
No, I'm good. I'm breathing.
I need a moment. All right. My brain hurts.
Too much Knight Rider.
Too many kits. Too many kits.
You know, I only ever watched
Michael,
one
slow down, Michael. Michael, we'll get there in time.
God. Dun, 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 dun.
Michael, I'm really Mr. Feeny. Michael.
You know, I only watched one episode of Knight Rider. And it was the one where they got Peter Cullen to come in as a talking transforming robot car. And I was like, yeah, this is still stupid.
Anyway, Trey, when can we expect X-Files stuff?
We don't know.
Well, I've heard they were shooting this this summer. Sources have been saying they're going to film it
a few minutes ago.
Okay. Which would assume probably next year, early next year, late this year.
The earliest the spring, probably not until the following fall, unless they do a summer special event. Especially with only six episodes, that's actually entirely possible. Because, I mean, it looks like it's going to be like the 24 revival where they just do a limited series and then they're done forever again. Mm. Unless it makes a lot of money, and then they'll make more.
It's done forever until the next time.
Well, it's, you have to remember, Gillian Anderson. It's because it's Gillian Jacobs, Gillian Anderson, Gillian Jacobs, Gillian Anderson. Gillian Anderson is busy with, she's got a British series that she's doing also. So she's, you know, Gillian Anderson's everywhere. So she's pretty busy. So, I mean, she can commit to six episodes, but probably not a lot more than that. David Duchovny just hangs out outside the studio since Californication ended and drinks. Actually, no, I think he's got a new series also. And he's good. He's possibly going to reprise his role as Denise in the Twin Peaks remake. Sequel. Revival.
Whatever it is.
If David Duchovny gets an FBI badge, he's showing up for a revival.
It's what he does. So.
So
I think I know how to get him in my $100 Hawkeye movie then. Just give him an FBI badge, he'll show up.
Speaking of revivals.
Right, that's still
revivals.
We're still doing that GeekCon cosplay, right? That's when we have to do is
Well, we'll see what we can do.
Okay.
But speaking of arbitrary revivals, Nick.
Hobisky. So, everyone knows my favorite people in the world are Harmony Gold. And part of why they're my favorite people in the world is because they really know how to mismanage a franchise, not know how to let it go, and just run it into the ground. And I think that they've really finally found their match. Because Sony, you know, Sony Pictures, the people who keep rebooting Spider-Man and have already sabotaged their own Ghostbusters plans, well, they needed another franchise that they could just totally mismanage. So they want in on that sweet, sweet Robotech money, question mark. I don't understand how this is happening. Sony has bought the film rights, and they have said explicitly they don't just want to do a Robotech movie. They want a Robotech film franchise. And I talk about counting chickens before they hatch. I guess they didn't notice that like almost every Robotech-related revival has failed miserably in the last 10 years. And I don't know why. You think this is going to be the time it works, but why is this happening?
Because God hates you, Nick.
Here's the thing. They probably can't even use the Macross designs. They seriously probably can't even use the Macross designs for this.
Why?
And that's... here's the thing. The whole Robotech debacle, like the legal issues over here, are compounded by the Japanese legal issues. So Tatsunoko, who sold Harmony Gold the rights to Macross to turn it into Robotech and all that, they don't actually own the rights to Macross anymore. They had a legal battle with Macross's original creators, Big West and Shoji Kawamori. And Big West won. So a lot of people, this has been something that people have been talking about for like almost a decade now, have been questioning if Harmony Gold even can legally say they own any of the Macross trademarks. And honestly, if Kawamori or the Japanese end of the company actually cared enough, they could easily take to court and win. But the fact of the matter is they really don't care. They're not going to do anything. So, yeah, they probably can't actually use the Macross stuff.
That is amazing.
It's insane. No, the whole legal issues with Robotech are absolutely insane.
Wow.
Yeah. No, it's crazy. Like, now, again, I'm not sure how much that holds up because this year is Robotech's 30th anniversary, and Harmony Gold has put out some Macross Valkyrie toys, and the $100 Palladium-produced Robotech miniatures game, Robotech Tactics, is all Macross robots. So maybe they're not afraid of that anymore, but yeah, that's part of why their recent revival movie, Robotech the Shadow Chronicles, didn't feature anything even remotely Macross looking in it. It was all Mos Pita stuff.
That also may be why Hasbro's no longer caring about Jetfire toys not looking how they look compared to Valkyries.
Yeah, that like the leader class Jetfire that is almost literally a VF1J, pretty much.
It doesn't do Garwalk mode or whatever.
Doesn't do Garwalk, but still a fantastic toy.
Yeah. If you want a toy Valkyrie,
it's a good option. It's much sturdier than the pieces of crap Harmony Gold has licensed. No, really. Go pick it up. It's good. So yeah, I really want to know who asked for this, because it's going to be another mess.
I think Sony is under the bizarre. This is like when Sony didn't do it, but when the Lone Ranger remake got made, that someone at the movie studio has nostalgia for this. Like one guy, there is like one Robotech fan at Sony Pictures who said, that would be great. And everyone else said, oh, will it? And maybe he was right about like one other franchise before or something. So everyone's listening, and then it's going to go terribly and explode and be awful. And you know, though, for a fact, Nick, that when that film comes out, you and I are both going to go see it.
Oh, hell yeah. Our listener, one of our regular listeners, Shameless Otaku, who lent us his webcam that one episode where you could actually see me. We've already planned. I'm for sure going with him to some theater somewhere. Like, I know for sure I'm seeing this movie. It's going to be terrible.
Saying, though, is that if it comes to a drive-in in Indiana, you should come down here and watch it.
Oh, God. Yeah, that sounds totally worth it.
Because the best part about drive-ins is that you can talk during the movie.
Oh, my God. This is like
without bothering anyone. Technically, you could talk during any movie, but then you get like mean looks and maybe punched, you know.
I'm just really. Like, even the zeitgeist that would have caused this movie to be made kind of died out, which was that big boom in right after 2007's Transformers came out. It seemed like everyone was like, wait, what other classic toy franchises can we turn into a movie? But the thing is, Transformers has been the only movie like that that's been actually successful.
Maybe somebody at Sony really just wanted to make a Mos Pita movie? And couldn't get the rights because of Harmony Gold, so they're making a Robotech movie. Because it'd be too easy if it was a Macross movie they wanted to make.
You see, if any of the shows that Robotech did need a comeback, though, it would be Mos Pita, because the 1983 Genesis Climber Mos Pita, that's the only show that it's got. It did like one OVA, but there's never been like a remake or a sequel or anything. Thing, whereas Macross gets a new show every 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, I was gonna say. Yeah.
You know, I don't know. More Mos Pita would be awesome. But I like Mos Pita. Mos Pita's good. Actually, you guys out there, go watch Mos Pita. It's got transforming robot bikes.
Oh, dear Lord.
It's awesome. It has sort of Valkyries, and it has transforming robot bikes. It's effing awesome.
I want to say, too, I want to point out to the listeners at home, we managed to get 40 minutes into the cast before either of them mentioned Transformers.
Well, here's the
40 minutes.
No, because we talked about Peter Cullen being a transforming car during the Knight Rider.
But you didn't specifically mention Transformers.
I brought that up. Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, that wasn't specifically Transformers. So new record for how long it took. Mark that on your calendars, folks. Thank you, Optimus.
We're gonna have just a Transformers episode, just to drive fur crazy.
And I'm gonna be sitting there bashing my head against my keyboard.
That's it. Next time they come out with a Transformers movie, we're gonna have to do a special episode, even if none of us see the movie.
I was gonna say that would require you guys to go see it.
Well, instead of like the last one that I literally left in the middle of. It was the second movie in a double feature, and I was bored. I mean, Michael Bay's entire job is to make movies visually interesting. That's the only reason he gets hired, right? Is to make things blow up. If you are watching a Michael Bay movie and it has become boring, he has failed. And he failed with Age of Extinction. Because I didn't walk out of you know, two and three. Like, the Transformers movies drop in quality with each movie. But I didn't get bored watching Transformers 3. It wasn't a good movie, but I didn't get bored watching it. Age of Extinction, I got bored and found myself missing Shia LaBeouf.
Actual cannibal Shia LaBeouf.
Oh, okay. So speaking of terrible things... Speaking of terrible things,
we're about to get political, folks.
Yes. So first said that we weren't going to get happy. We were going to be happy all episode, but he's a lying son of a bitch because we're about to get unhappy as I drop my iPhone on the floor. Nobody noticed that I just did that. Okay. So. I apologize for that slight delay in my talking. What's happened is that I don't know if any of you have noticed the news, but Indiana, the great state in which I reside, and by great, I just mean it in the sense of big, not in the sense of, like, good. The state of Indiana signed a law called it's SB 101, which is the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which would pretty much allow people to discriminate against gay people for religious reasons, quote unquote.
Really anybody that they want to.
Really the target. Okay, so people, like, other states have RFRAs, and including the federal government, but what makes the Indiana law different are two things. The two things that make the Indiana law different are that one is that the government doesn't have to be an actor, which means that the government doesn't have to be involved, which means that a private business can discriminate against someone for religious reasons, which can't do in other states. So you can refuse service, which gets really important if it's not so much about what a private business does, but there are really dangerous implications down the line. Like, because so many different areas have done things like, not necessarily in Indiana, but other places in the country where, like, police have become privatized. And that would give a private police force the right to refuse service to a gay person. Do you see where we're going here? Why this is scary? All right.
Having RoboCop flashbacks.
And it also gives religious freedom, not just to individuals, but to corporations and businesses. The second way in which is why a business would be able to deny service. So, like, a pharmacist could deny, and if you're in a small town, that's a big deal if you can't get your medication because you're gay and there's nowhere else to go for 50 miles. The second thing it did is that it overrode local anti-discrimination ordinances. So even if you had laws on your books that forbade discrimination against LGBTQ plus community members, even if you had local ordinances, the state law would say, no, you don't. So those are the two things. So Gen Con, you know, being the largest gaming convention, like probably the most important gaming convention in the world, 56,000 attendees every year, brings over $50 million in revenue to the city of Indianapolis in, you know, tourist revenue. They said, before the law was passed, they said, wrote a letter to Governor Mike Pence and said, if you sign this, we will consider leaving your city in 2021 when our contract is up, because they're contracted to remain in Indianapolis through 2020. Now, Mike Pence, a lot of other corporations said this too, like, you know, Safeway said that, the NCAA said stuff, like NASCAR has said don't sign this.
Yeah, NASCAR.
That's the world we're in. Mike Pence said, derp-de-der, I'm going to sign this anyways, because Mike Pence, frankly, has a rather terrible record again about this sort of thing, and suddenly was shocked when there was all this backlash. Since then, on Thursday, they did modify the RFRA. slightly, which is the part that means it no longer overrides local ordinances. So if you're in one of the 10 municipalities, it's 10 or 11 municipalities in Indiana that has an anti-discrimination law, which does include Indianapolis, it now that is now back in effect. Which means that services could not be denied to a person for religious reasons in the city of Indianapolis, where Gen Con's actually held. And Gen Con has written a response saying it's a good first step, but it's not all the way. So, you know, whatever. But it doesn't protect let me tell you how far this has gone. It doesn't protect, again, LGBTQ people from discrimination in any of the places that don't have municipal things. In Lafayette, where I live, a Republican city councilman has now proposed local anti-discrimination laws. A Republican is now trying to get anti-discrimination laws passed in Lafayette to protect LGBTQ community members. A Republican. This is how out of touch. When NASCAR and fellow Republicans are saying this was stupid and this is bad, it's just insane. And the only reason we're talking about this is because of the, you know, it.
Because of Gen Con.
Because of Gen Con. But I've seen a lot of, like, there are other, like, geek blogs based out of Indiana that I read and pay attention to that report on every bit of convention thing, yet somehow have ignored talking about, like, maybe losing the biggest convention in the state. Let me put it this way. Other people are bidding on the convention right now. Other people are trying to tempt Gen Con away because there's a chance.
Seattle, especially.
The state of Washington has offered money to Gen Con to relocate to Washington, which happens to also be the home of Wizards of the Coast. You know.
Oh, geez.
Who?
So.
Which is the subsidiary of Hasbro that owns Gen Con.
I just think that it is something like this. The geek community, the convention community, and everything else, it's such a diverse pool of individuals. I mean, like, I would argue that without the diversity within the geek community, with the convention community, the community wouldn't thrive. It wouldn't. We have such a diverse group of people in this community that it is imperative that exists.
We're also going to be some of the most hateful communities, depending on who
you We can be, but I mean, I like, but that goes, that's for another discussion. I'm saying this as somebody who identifies as pansexual and who in theory could be said, like, oh yeah, we're not gonna serve you because of that. I think it's important for major groups like Gen Con and for other major geek organizations to say, we're not going to be a part of you if you're not going to allow our community, allow the people that make up our community to be. So I applaud Gen Con and all the other groups that have stepped up and said, look, this isn't a cool law. There's no excuse for people to say, I'm not going to serve you because I'm in my eyes, you're wrong and you're bad and there's something wrong with you. And I have friends, and I apologize. I have people that I consider my friends who have gone and said, oh yeah, I think it's totally fine that this bill exists. I think it's fine that like people can refuse service based on their beliefs and that. And it's like, no, like, how can you, as somebody that exists within a community and has lived within that community for years, still look at those people and say, you're wrong and you're bad and I can't, you know what I mean? Like, how do you really look at them as your friends?
Yeah.
And Indiana and now Arkansas just passed one themselves. It's absolutely sickening that people, for being who they are, being how they were born, can be told, no, you're not good. We don't look at you as someone that we want.
I think it's amazing that they found a way to make Arkansas more intolerant.
Yeah, right?
That is pretty astounding, to be perfectly honest.
Holy Arkansas God. Saw this and said, oh, yeah, we can't be beaten. Everybody get our own law going. Get this thing cooking. We can't be beaten by anybody else.
My secrets. Oh, it's just ridiculous.
Good God. This is just really depressing. I'm sorry that I really don't have a lot to contribute. I just generally go back to
it's okay
being negative, and this just sucks.
Yeah, no, but it's...
I mean, that's the understatement of the episode, to say the least, but...
You know, I, on the bright side, like, it's good to see the reaction from people saying how terrible things are, and the greater... Yeah, the greater
it's good to see the United unified States. Reaction of anger from people.
It's been it has been heartening for me to see other people from Indiana that are also, you know, opposed to this. And it's just so frustrating because this is where I live. This has been my home for 5 years. And to know that that I'm not welcome here is just amazing. But whatever. It's depressing as hell. And I hope the RFRA needs to get repealed. And if it's not, Gen Con needs to move. Period. They need to follow through. We need to see things happen. I mean, I know for a fact that, like, they're, like, I mean, for God's sake, NASCAR condemned. How out of touch are you with America when both the nerds and NASCAR, like, if GLAD and NASCAR agree on something, you know you've gone round the bend, right? Right?
Yes. Agree.
Okay, so what also drives me nuts is that pizzeria in Walkerton.
Yeah.
So Walkerton, Indiana. This is not geeky in relation, but they said they weren't going to serve gay people and then announced they were going out of business because of all the harassment, which was somehow amazing because it was only like 2 days later where, like, if your business is on the rocks so much that you can't go 2 days... I don't think it was your refusal to serve gay people that was your problem. But it's turned out like they've raised like over $1 million have been raised for this pizzeria from people who are not in Indiana. I want to point out is where the money's coming from. It's so ridiculous because this is what happened. I mean, I'm sure the people really are that bigoted. Like, you only pull this move if you really are that bigoted. But I think what they said is our business is going out of business. Our pizzeria is going out of business. Hey, if we make a big stink right now, we can become a martyr and make a bunch of money.
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
I would say I have
exactly
no doubt
what happened.
Really transparent.
There's a special place in hell for all the people that gave those people money. I'm just saying. Just saying.
There's a special kind of blindness among the people who are supporting this bill that they don't see how it's affecting people. It blows my mind. It really blows my mind.
It's really bad.
But
let's talk about happier things.
Yeah, but just in closing, Geek Community, we're rocking this one, so keep it up. Support your
LGBTQ
friends. Support them.
One of the best things that happened in the last couple of weeks, down at Northern Illinois University in DeKalb, Trey and I went to KuroshiCon. Trey selling all the good stuff from his two webcomics, Chronicles of Krosarth and Unconventional. Myself hanging out with my fiance Raina Innocenti with Ineffective Carnivore, making all sorts of sales, meeting all sorts of great people.
Me sleeping on Corfan's floor.
Trey slept on Corfan's floor
on an air mattress, as did my lovely wife Krista.
I've said it before on the show. I really like little cons. Kuroshi is one of my favorites, and this year it was once again one of my favorites. I had so much fun.
Oh yeah, no, it was fantastic. It was it's a tiny little con at Northern Illinois University, but it. Okay, so my favorite thing about KuroshiCon this year is because it's held in the student center. It's held in the Union. And right now, and right next door, in the, like, kind of like you had to walk by it to get from one part of KuroshiCon to another, was this auditorium that was rented out all day by another group. That was, and I called it just looking at the font on their signs.
Group.
It was a, like, Christian music thing all day in the other room. It was the looks were classic. And all I could think was, all I could think was, you know, to the facilities guys who had to set all this up, our two groups don't look all that different. The only the only real difference is that we recruit less.
The highlight of that for me was
silence.
While wandering through the con space, just outside the doors to the Christian Music Conference, some people were getting pictures of Morrigan the Succubus from the Guilty Gear series, and I'm just like, it can't get the placement of this photo shoot couldn't be better. I'm laughing so hard. Yeah, that there. I ran into some great people. Got some. I always just meet the coolest people at Kuroshi. I don't know what it is. It's just. It is worth your time if you're in the area. I always have fun there.
It's good people doing. It's funny because their vendor head, like who was a first year freshman, like wrote an apology in her like follow up email, like sorry if I was so frustrated. I'm like, you were fine. Like
she was good.
She was fine. She was perfectly fine, polite. You know, obviously, you know. I mean, if she was inexperienced, because, you know, everyone's got to start somewhere, but as a person who ran vendor rooms, I'm like, nothing went wrong in that room that I haven't seen happen in every vendor room I've ever been in. Like, if you're not last minute rearranging tables because facilities didn't give you enough, you're not a vendor head yet until you do that at least once.
My first time going to Kuroshi was last year. And the main thing I did there was sell things, but I had a ton of fun selling things there. I had a ton of fun this year. I hope to go back next year because it's just one of the best things.
In fact, I think Fur should come with next year.
I will try. I'll do my darndest.
Fur, come on. All three of us.
You should do it. It's really fun.
I'll see what I can do.
It would be exciting.
Because what I did instead was, I'm pretty sure I like... was if I wasn't working, I was sitting on my couch watching The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Which is a good life choice, too, but, you know.
Females are strong as hell.
Indeed.
God, that'll suck. So, KuroshiCon good?
Yes.
KuroshiCon good. You know, I actually had more fun at KuroshiCon this year than I did at NozumiCon. I said it. I love NozumiCon as a like tiny convention in Milwaukee, but I had more fun at KuroshiCon this year. I don't know.
Kuroshi is one of my favorite parts of the year nowadays, and I can't wait for next year.
Yeah, no, I'm a big fan. I mean, not to say that I didn't like NozumiCon this year. I don't want to let it sound like I'm like dissing on NozumiCon, because I loved that con, but I had more fun at KuroshiCon this year.
One funny thing I do want to throw out there though. Weirdest part about Kuroshi for me. I'm so used to when we go to these cons selling, like, you know, fan art, that people really want to grab stuff of the new hotness, right? You know, they want to get what's really popular right now and that sort of thing, right?
The moneymaker.
First thing that sold at the booth, some guy ran across the room because we had Saint Seiya prints. Like, 1980s original Saint Seiya stuff. And this guy was so happy. That pretty much, as soon as that happened, I'm like, this is going to be the best weekend ever.
Well, I did really well at the convention, but one of the moments was the strangest moments in the convention is one of the guys walked up to me and asked what I was selling and then didn't know what a webcomic was. And I'm not talking, like, I've had to explain what a webcomic is to, like, people over the age of, like, 50. Because, I mean, most people who go to conventions, right, if they're over 50, know what a webcomic is. But every once in a while, you get the, like, that's usually the demographic where the one guy is who doesn't know what it is. But, like, this kid was, like, 19, and I had to explain what a webcomic was. And it began with me, like, in my head being judgmental. And then I realized, oh, my God, there's this whole exciting world for this kid, which is about to open up as he discovers all of the free comics on the internet. I'm like, oh, my God, wouldn't that be awesome? So just one, like, to go throughout your life be liking comics but not knowing that this existed and then just not waking up to, like, what webcomics were like 10 years ago or 15 years ago, but now with, like, this vast sea just from nothing to that. In an overnight, that amazing realization, I was kind of envious at that moment.
That's pretty amazing, actually.
Right? All right, so...
oh, my golly.
So, as for conventions coming up, in 2 weeks, on April 19th, I'm going to be at the Independent Show, which is also combined with HoosierCon this year, at the Wyndham Indianapolis West in Indianapolis. And then the week after that, all three of us are going to be at No Brand Con at the Plaza Hotel.
Oh, boy, will we ever.
And that's April 24th through 26th. And on April 24th, we are going to be doing a live episode of Nerd and Tie at 10:30 at night. Technically, it's on an off week, so we have no idea what we're doing yet.
Nah.
Well, but it'll be one of the best episodes.
We did a feedback special last time, but we're in the No Mercy room, an 18-plus panel room. We will not be live streaming the episode to the internet. We will just be recording it locally. So anything can happen, and it'll be really exciting. Well, again, we'll talk about that next episode the week before No Brand Con, but just to, since we're running through conventions, and those are the two places you're going to find us next. So in 2 weeks, I'll be at the Independent Show on April 19th, and then 3 weeks from now, we'll all be at No Brand Con being awesome.
I'll probably be a little bit more awesome than either of you.
This is the genius, is that, and we discovered the perfect formula last year, is that by putting the panel at like 10:30 at night, Fur can get drunk. And Nick and I don't drink. So just having two of us sober and one of us drunk is hilarious.
Oh, it's great. I can't. The thing is, like, I have an hour in between Whose Line Is It Anime? Hour and a half, because Nick has an Evangelion panel right after Whose Line Is It Anime.
Right, which is that Evangelion panel is in the No Mercy room also, it isn't it? So, yeah, so it's we're going to do that
thing
again.
I'm going to be marathoning again this con.
From 9 o'clock, but that means we're going to take over the No Mercy room at No Brand Con from that 9 p.m., I think, is when your panel. From 9 p.m. till 2 in the morning, because immediately following Nerd and Tie Live, I will be hosting Hanzo the Razor for the whatever year in a row since No Brand Con 1. So,
it's going to be good.
You get to see Nick's Ava panel, followed by Nerd and Tie Live with Drunken Fur, followed by Hanzo the Razor as presented by me. And it will be a glorious block of programming that you will just have to come to. Because it will make your life better.
You literally have to. It's mandatory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will eat your soul if you don't show up.
I want that room packed.
Be there. But we'll talk about that in a couple of weeks. Because now, gentlemen, should we look in the mailbag?
We should look in the mailbag.
There's stuff in the mailbag.
You know, I've got to say, like, this is a weird sort of mailbag. For us, because normally we have our regular writers write into us, and it's always a good time.
And maybe one new person.
We have all new people writing to us. So let's get started with a letter from Brenda Gibner. Brenda Gibner writes, "So I am a new listener and was listening to the last podcast. As a worker of an anime con in Tucson, I can understand the whole same panel thing. It is dumb to have three Whose Line panels at a con and should have just had the one that was the best. Also, that con you spoke about that dropped the ball, wow, that is crazy how they run things. Can't wait to hear more and also read more unconventional." Signed, Brenda Gibner.
I did not ask anyone to plug that.
Though.
Brenda, I'm glad you're listening all the way out in Tucson. That's very, very cool.
I'm glad you're reading Unconventional all the way out in Tucson. And I'm available for personal appearances.
As long as it's West.
At conventions.
At conventions. No, we're really glad you've started listening to the show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for your thoughts on the same panel thing. We thought it was really bizarre when the Otaku Danet crew was at KitsuneCon a couple weekends ago, and we went up against three other Whose Line Is It Anyway anime panels. But such is life. We go on. We put on a show. We do what we can. As far as the con that dropped the ball, I would say that's more than dropping the ball.
Fantasticon they were talking about, or Chi-Fi? Yes. Okay, because Chi-Fi screwed up PR.
Yeah, that's Fantasticon.
I have done. I've done. You should really.
Maybe both.
If you want to know more about Fantasticon's mess ups, go to the website. I wrote a follow up article that was amazing, where we have found out that Fantasticon's convention was never because they never registered their corporation to operate in the state of Wisconsin. They operated illegally when they ran an event, that they are all from Chicago. So their direct messages to people saying that they people should support Milwaukee's homegrown convention and not one from people from out of town was amazing. The con director has a fake Facebook account that says he's from Milwaukee, even though he lives in Aurora, Illinois. It's
bizarre. It's a rabbit hole.
And I go into the details about the non-compete stuff with AwesomeCon that we mentioned in the podcast last time. So,
but thank you very much, Brenda, for your letter. We're glad you listened to us. Keep on listening out there in Tucson, Arizona.
Yes.
Woot woot.
All right. Moving on to our next letter from Meg Jane, who is also another first-time writer. Subject, hello. Hello, Nerd and Ty. Been a fan of your podcast for many months now. Thought I would introduce myself in the form of a question. On a recent episode, Nick had spoke of small gaming/tabletop conventions. Sounded like a great deal of fun. Are there any local small gaming cons in the area you would recommend? How do you guys learn of these conventions? Thank you, Miss Jane. Now, in the area is a hard question because literally right now in this podcast, we represent three different local areas. With Nick being in Janesville, Wisconsin, I'm in Lafayette, Indiana, and Fur is in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. So, assuming you mean any of these, I'll say Nexus Game Fair is in Milwaukee. They're running their first year in June. If you're in Milwaukee, if you are in Indiana, Hoosier Con, which is in 2 weeks. The independent show I'm doing is actually merged with Hoosier Con. That's a three-day gaming convention in Indianapolis. Is FoyCon still running for?
Yes. They ran last year. I don't know if they're going to have it this year. If they do, it's a lot of fun. That's held right down here, right off of Claremont and Eau Claire. It's a two-day event. It's a lot of fun, a lot of good gaming stuff happening here.
Yeah,
and usually kind of, in September.
Yeah, that kind of replaced Stake, which was the old gaming con that used to be in Eau Claire. And then there's PlatCon and Platteville. I don't know if does Monomicon still run. I don't know
about Monomicon. I should look that up because I really enjoy these little ones. PlatCon, yes, fantastic.
Consinity in which is usually in April, I think, in Milwaukee. That's held down at MSOE. Those guys are pretty nice. Honestly, how do we find these?
Another one. If depending on how far they want to go, like in Northern Illinois, there's WhatCon. That's WhatKHAN.
Isn't there a gaming convention in Green Bay?
I think there was. Crud! I don't know if they still run. I remember they had a year that was like right up against Kitsune, and that was the only reason I knew about it. But it's
also to be mentioned that like if you go to a Wisconsin con model con, and that's the big Wisconsin model cons are No Brand Con, Daisho Con, GeekCon, Kitsune Con, all these conventions have a sizable tabletop gaming presence. Because when I talk about the Wisconsin model, it's actually the Wisconsin Anime Model Con, but GeekCon gets grouped in where it's besides having the themed like anime sections and things like that, and the Artist Alley, there's also a significant video gaming and significant tabletop gaming presence, and those two things are required to be like the Wisconsin model. It's like a generalized convention thing. So even like No Brand Con has a sizable tabletop gaming area, even though that's not its primary focus.
That's true, but the little cons have a certain
right, and that's why I said those first.
And if you're in the Twin Cities area, there's like Method Con, which is usually in October in St. Louis Park. Berserk Con in Duluth, which is every year in. When is Berserk Con? Berserk Con's in the spring. So there's always that. That's in Duluth if you're in that area.
As to how we find out about these things, honestly, a lot of the stuff I know about from networking at conventions, just being like people promoting at cons, but the internet. There are different convention listing websites like confinder.greententacles.com, I think is I can't remember if it's .com or .net. That's out there. AnimeCons.com. Like, but it's honestly, it's harder because a lot of these little cons don't know to list themselves in bigger directories. Honestly, like, I would just literally go down to, I would go to Google and I would type my town name, gaming convention. Like, there's also Gamehole Con in Madison, which uses the same hotel that GeekCon does, last I checked. So, but,
I forgot
about them.
Some of the things, I'll admit, some of the stuff I found out about just because Raina, because she works with a vendor half the time.
Yeah. Oh, Midwinter Gaming Festival in Milwaukee also.
Yeah, they go all sorts of places, and I just find out about it through there. But
yeah, basically, just also feel free to stop into your local game shops. Usually there's a flyer up for some local convention coming up. Yeah. Really, it's pretty easy to find local cons, and support your local cons. Do that. Go.
Yeah.
Even if it's just for a day. Go to a convention for a day. Have fun.
Right. But to say I can't think of an easy way to find out about them beyond just like
it's a pain.
It's really hard. I literally, because I do a lot of our convention coverage and articles on Nerd and Tie, I seriously just hunt out, I'm every day looking for stuff because, you know, I'm looking for anything important that's out there, and so yeah, it's really hard to find some of the stuff because what happens is that the smaller conventions don't think to get – they think they put up a website and they're fine. They don't think to get themselves listed in convention listings, which is such an old thing to do. It's – I've noticed this over the years that animecons.org has become – animecons.com.
Don't go to .org. Don't give them traffic.
Animecons.com. Has become less and less, less and less stuff is listed there over time. So, I don't know. I think that, which is fine if you can get a lot of your promotion off of, social networking and at other conventions, but it means that if you're a new person to an area, if you just move somewhere, it's really hard to find conventions in your area. I apparently relocate every 5 years or so. It's, you know, it's like when I moved to Indiana 5 years ago, I couldn't it was really hard for me to find conventions, and I've found them since then. But a lot of the stuff was just literally me Googling Indianapolis convention minus Gen Con.
So hope that answered your question, Meg. Thanks for writing in. And thanks for listening.
And last but not least, we got a letter from CM Doodle Snaps.
That's a great name.
I love that name. It's the best. look, they listed me first. I'm the best. No. Dear Nick, Trey, and Fur, in the order most likely to take up the mantle of Swamp Thing.
Pretty much.
Okay, so if I keep that in mind, you guys, if I die, very likely going to become a swamp god.
I don't know. I think as the one who's a member of a nature-based religion, that I'd be more likely.
Yeah, that does seem a little bit more likely. I would more likely be Swamp Thing's. I would more likely give Swamp Thing life advice and hang out with him and dress cool. I'd be Constantine.
You know, it's funny you say that because Nick can't see what we put up on the video, but I literally have the photo of Nick cosplaying Constantine up on the video right now.
Nice. Ugh.
Wow, all that right. Was a really gross sound, Nick. thank you.
We have sexually satisfied Nick with a photo.
That sounds sad. Anyway, long-time listener, first-time writer. My friend and I enjoy listening to your show. We've seen you at a few cons and thought we'd shoot you an email to ask you guys a question. We read your blog post about the upcoming Robotech film, and it got us thinking. If Michael Bay was directing, what anime would you like to see get an American live-action film? We look forward to your answers.
I love this question so much.
Who wants
this? I love this question so much. I'm not gonna lie.
Who wants to go first?
I think you should go first.
All right. So I saw this email first today, probably right around 4:30 or so, and I really gave this one some thought. So let me tell you about the best anime that Michael Bay could direct into a live action film, and that would be Fooly Cooly. Yes. God. I would love to see a Michael Bay directed Fooly Cooly movie or some adaptation, because oh my god, that show is already absolutely bonkers. And how great would it be to have just Michael Bay, who already clearly doesn't have a grasp on how plot or anything works in general, and is just like, yeah, I like bonkers. See him have a go at something that's just constantly getting bigger and bigger and more like explosive and hitting, and man, how great would that be?
But like, Fooly Cooly has like symbolism and like depth.
That's fine. He can have somebody there to point that out to him, but we could have Bayhem in that movie and I'd be fine.
Dear Lord.
I want a Fooly Cooly, and don't tell me that would be awful, because it would be amazing.
It would be awful. I'm going to say that.
It would be incredible.
My pick would be something Michael Bay couldn't possibly screw up, because it's right up his damn alley. In fact, I'm almost certain it was based on his movies. I want to see Michael Bay direct the Black Lagoon live-action movie. Black Lagoon is already a big, dumb action shoot-em-up series with guns and girls and black guys with ridiculous one-liners all the time, and it's basically a Michael Bay movie already. I effing want to see that movie. I would pay to see that. Black Lagoon.
All right. So I'm going to say this as and you're what I want to see is Michael Bay directed My Isano Kaku. Megan Fox can play Kyoko. I'm okay with that.
Oh.
The VHS of that series are literally within reach of where I'm
standing. You know, Shia LaBeouf as Yusaku Godai would be perfectly acceptable to me. I'm already casting this. Because he wouldn't know what to do. It would be amazing. Like, what would explode? Nothing!
For those of you who aren't familiar with that particular entry from good old Rumiko Takahashi, it's about a college guy? Dropout? Yeah.
Taking over managing an apartment building.
Yeah, he manages an apartment.
And it's about all the people who live in the apartment building. You got the drunk lady, you got the jerk guy, you got, like, you know, but it's your standard.
Why?
It's about as down-to-earth as Rumiko Takahashi is ever going to get.
I really thought about going with, like, Ranma One-Half or something, you know, something one of my more favorite series, but, like, I was like, he could, like, make an explosion every time someone switched, you know, things, and he's done Transformers, yeah. So it would just be like, can you imagine the horrific, like, Bayformer Ranma transformation sequence?
Not to mention, like, it's Michael Bay, and I wouldn't trust him
it would be entertaining to watch Shia LaBeouf transform into Megan Fox, but and then I thought about Lum, and then I was just thinking, that's a really easy way to make stuff blow up all the time with Urusei Yatsura. And so, like, because my three favorite, Rumiko Takahashi series growing up were Ranma, Urusei Yatsura, and My Isano Kaku. And so, My Isano Kaku was the only one where everything is normal.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only Rumiko Takahashi thing I've ever gone through where everything is, I mean, I didn't read Vapon Gospel or whatever, because it was terrible. but I love those three series, and out of those three, that's the only one where everything's normal, where there's nothing, like, there's no big fight scenes, there's no, like, explosions.
Well, and yeah, and like, try. The last couple of shows are about demons and gods of death, so she's just getting rid of them.
Yeah, so
we hope that answered your question. Thanks again for writing in. What was that name again?
That was...
it's a favorite name.
That was CM Doodlesnaps.
CM Doodlesnaps. Your name. Keep doing that.
Thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you and your friend for writing in.
All right. So that moves us on to the segment we always end the show with.
Oh, yeah.
And that is the Vomit Hat Steve Challenge. The Vomit Hat Steve Challenge. So for those of you who don't know what it is that every episode I, Trey, read a part of a book. And the challenge to you, the listener, or viewer, depending on whether you're watching us on YouTube or Ustream or listening to the pod. Anyways, you at home hearing me speak this, or you in your car hearing me speak this, or you wherever you are hearing me say this, is I read part of a book, and then you have to guess what book it is. If you guess the name of the book and author correctly, you get included in the Hall of Awesome. The benefits of the Hall of Awesome are you get your name read on the show out loud every episode.
Hell yeah.
And nothing else. There are no other benefits to being in the Hall of Awesome.
Still, yeah.
Still, yeah, because I will call you awesome every 2 weeks. So the current people in the Hall of Awesome are Archimize, Zero, Rena Innocenti, Cheesy McDamu, Krista, Slither ED, Shameless Otaku, The Random Ramblings Man, Corfan, Capito, and Chris Graham. All of those people are awesome. Now, for a while now, I've been reading excerpts from the same book. I'm going to keep doing it because no one has gotten remotely close. We've gotten multiple guesses that are all so wrong that they're not even in the same ballpark. Sick. So we're going to keep going until someone at least gets, like, in the neighborhood. Okay? So this is our line for today. And again, I've gotten these shorter and shorter and shorter only because I've read enough chunks out of the same couple of pages. Because I've been like moving around just like 2 pages of this book. Keep the flask and drink it deep, my lord. Or come next bell, you won't be standing. That's it. That's your line. If you know what that is from, go to nerdandtie.com and click on the contact form link on the menu and write in. Tell us. Tell us what it is. Tell us what you think it is. Tell you think what it might be, not with the who, not in the hey there.
Exactly.
Tell us anything. Also, tell us anything else you want to hear us read. If you want to have anything you say read aloud in the mailbag, tell us on that form. Tell us if you like Fur's hair. Tell him if you think he looks like Greg Proops.
My hair is on point today. I'm not even mad. Like, it's on point right now. This is great.
Tell us if you want to see Nick cosplay Genma Sautome as a panda. Tell us all of these things and more.
But I want to be Ranma. Aww.
Okay, you can be Ranma. I'll be Genma. I'm already wearing a thing tied around my head. And Fur can be Akane. It'll work.
Wrestling like that.
Or Fur can perfect his Tatewake Kuno cosplay. And run around with a boken and get kicked out of conventions and have no one figure out what he is. And people will ask him, are you that guy from Lupin?
Perfect.
True story.
Oh, God. These kids have never watched Ranma 1/2. So, yay.
That makes me sad. Also, do yourself a favor and go watch Ranma 1/2. It's on Hulu.
It's on Hulu. Free.
Just watch it.
It's amazing.
You won't regret it at all.
Well, with that, folks.
Well, I think we might have exhausted our stuff for this week, guys.
I think we have. We said it was going to be a big episode, and boy, was it ever. So, ladies and gentlemen, as always, thank you for joining us this fortnight on Nerd and Tie, the only podcast on the Maryland Stretch Road. I am one of your hosts, Professor Richards.
I'm Trey Dorn.
And I'm Nick Izumi.
Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you in a fortnight.
Keep on sparking in the free world.
And make sure to always bring your towel.
And if you liked us, this is your first time listening, if you want to follow us more, follow us on Stitcher, iTunes, subscribe to us there. And make sure to write and review us. Let us know if you like us and you would recommend us to you.
And Fur slowly fades out into the distance as his internet connection goes insane at the end of the episode. Oh,
have a great night, everybody.